Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Eternal, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come once again into thy presence. Father, we would come with reverence, recognizing who thou art and who we are, knowing that thou art great and we are but dust, and to dust we shall return. Father, help us to recognize thy great, great love that thou dost have for us, thy patience with mankind. And now we just pray, Lord, that as we would partake of this manna from on high, Lord, that thou wouldst bless it to our spiritual man, for we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. For our reading this afternoon, I'd like to turn to a familiar passage of Scripture, and that would be St. John, chapter number 9. The Gospel of John, chapter number 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh where no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. His neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. And they said unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already, that if any man confessed that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they unto him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye hear not. Wherefore will ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when they had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. May God bless the reading of his word. And this afternoon, I'd like to consider this scripture passage through the song that we began this service with. This song says, Let us with deep meditation hear the Savior speak to us, to proclaim his great salvation in the message of the cross. 'Tis a blessed word revealing the eternal fount of healing that Jesus Christ our Lord full redemption doth afford. So it is with a desire that we would come with a deep meditation, a strong, fixed thought process upon who Jesus is and the glory that is due to his name and what he has come here upon this earth to do. And that is to give that eternal fount of healing. He did so much more for this blind man than simply recover his sight, his physical sight. He did so much more for him. And Jesus is willing to do so much more for us if we recognize who he is and the power of his might. We recognize Jesus to be the Messiah. We recognize Jesus to be the Christ, the Anointed One, Emmanuel, God with us, that we might know him, and that we might be drawn to him, and that he would give unto us that which is eternal, life everlasting, that he would do so much more for us than make our lives here upon this earth comfortable. This is the God that we serve, and he wants us to know him. So let us with deep meditation focus upon the depth of why Jesus Christ came and what it is that he has done for us and to glorify his name. Second verse said, Wilt thou, Jesus, daily open every heart unto thy word? So let's come into God's house now and let's open our hearts now to the message that he brought here to all mankind. It may it be that obedience would betoken that we prize the grace conferred, meaning that we prize this grace so much that we will show our appreciation for it by obedience unto his word. Just as this man that was born blind did. When he was told to go to the pool of Siloam and wash, he simply went to the pool of Siloam and washed. There was no questioning why. Well, what about this? What about that? And in our lives, as the Lord speaks to us, let's with obedience show that we are thankful for what he has done for us, for the grace that he has given unto us. Unto praise and consecration, grant thy Spirit's inspiration. Let us be, through grace divine, holy and forever thine. This man that was born blind came to that point where he was wholly the Lord's as he bowed before him there at the end of the story and worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. And so may it be that we would come with with that level of reverence and with that level of thought, with this deep meditation, to think of who Christ is, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, Emmanuel, God with us. The first verse begins that he was passing by. If we go to the last verse of the previous chapter, it says that he was passing by those who were ready to stone him. They had picked up stones and they were ready to stone the Lord because of the words he had spoken. He had spoken to the Jews truth and they didn't want to receive it. And so they were so enraged that they had picked up stones and they were ready to stone Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And if we were in that situation, our heart would be racing. We would be thinking, I just escaped death. And it would take us some time to settle down. But Jesus, as he's passing by, as he's leaving that scene of where he was about ready to be stoned, he comes across this man that was born blind. And immediately, he has compassion upon this man that was born blind. And there was something that needed to be done here. And since our Lord and Savior was about his Father's business and about his Father's work, working the works of God, that he took the time, even though he was just about to be stoned, he took the time to show to the disciples and to the Jews and Pharisees of what God would have to be done. Again, the Bible is all about Jesus Christ. It's about who the Lord is and about God. So this story isn't about the man that was born blind. It wasn't about the Jews. It wasn't about the disciples. It was about the work of God. The work of God. That men would come to believe the work of God. So he passes by. He sees this man that was born from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? We'll read further on that the Jews had some similar thoughts and rationale. The disciples had similar thoughts and rationale. There must be a cause and effect. I'm viewing things from my paradigm, from my understanding, from my limited scope, from my limited experiences. I'm looking at things, and so there's a problem here. This is my rationale. There's a problem here. This man sinned or his parents sinned. Which one was it, Lord? That was their rationale. There had to have been some type of cause and effect. Jesus didn't say that was the case. Jesus says, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That was the reason he was born blind, so that the works of God should be manifest in him. So take a moment and think about how it was for this man. He's born blind. His parents are struggling. Why can't he see? We got to help him with everything. We got to lead him everywhere we take him. It's so difficult. And he couldn't see. And he was lacking in life because of his blindness. And he had to use his other faculties to understand and to know things. And it was a difficult life for him. But he was born this way so that the works of the Lord might be made manifest in him. And so it became a wonderful thing that this man's life was being used so that the glory of God should be made manifest in him. A lot of times we don't understand why we have things in our lives, but it can turn to a blessing to others, perhaps decades from now, maybe even generations from now. We don't know why things have transpired the way they are, but that we would allow God to be made manifest in our lives and in his working. And so it was for this man that was born blind. This was the purpose he was born blind, so that God could make his works manifest, and so that the disciples could see it, and that the Jews in their petty thinking could think a little larger than how they would narrowly think things through. And so Jesus continues and says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so Jesus didn't come to heal men from their blindness, simply, and that's all. He didn't come upon this earth to allow lame people to walk. That's not why Jesus came here upon this earth. It was amazing that a leper could be cleansed and made white as snow. And have skin as a baby. That's not why Jesus came. He came for so much more. And so let us, with that deep meditation, consider why Jesus, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, part of the Godhead, coming here upon this earth to give us life, and that more abundantly, to give us spiritual healing, to give us spiritual vision, to be the light of the world, to give us a far better spectrum than what we can see and know in our physical senses. When we see just a small portion of a spectrum. We see a very, very small portion of the spectrum. There's gamma rays, there's ultraviolet rays, there's X-rays, there's infrared rays. And all we see in the middle of all this spectrum is light. And this man that was born blind couldn't even see even that. But Jesus is Lord of all. All power is given unto him in heaven and earth. And he's far above what we can see. He's far above all of that, what we can experience. The ways of the Lord are so much greater than our ways. And our ways, ours then is, because the Lord is so much greater than us, is to worship him, to magnify him, to exalt his name, to proclaim his great salvation in that message of the cross. It's a blessed word revealing, the eternal fount of healing, not just simply an ailment, physical ailment that we have, and the Lord healed us, or them, or he, or she. God is doing so much more for us. And so he is the light of the world, and so much more. And so it was that when Jesus comes to this man that was born blind, that after he had spoken that, he spat on the ground and he made spittle and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with that clay. And he said, "Go into the pool of Siloam and wash." I'm sure we all recall the story of blind Bartimaeus when he was on the roadside and he heard Jesus coming and he cries out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he cries out multiple times, and Jesus stops and asks what he should do for this blind man, for Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus says, "That I might receive my sight." And Jesus says, "Your faith has saved you." And he received his sight. But in this case, it was different. The blind man didn't ask. This man that was born blind, he didn't ask Jesus to receive his sight. And Jesus made spittle here and made a clay and anointed this man that was born blind with this clay, and he had him go wash in the pool of Siloam. So two different scenarios where men have received their sight to them, and it happened in different ways. But Jesus, again, being so great, he felt it best to do it this way as he came to work the works of God. And so he does, this man, with simple obedience. Simple obedience. This man that was born blind, he goes over to the pool of Siloam and he washes and he has his sight. He can see. It's just simple obedience. He didn't ask why. He didn't ask, "Well, when or how should I do this? How am I going to get there? I don't know how to even get there." He didn't ask any questions. He simply went forth in obedience. And again, the song that we sang this afternoon, "May obedience betoken that we prize the grace conferred." You know, Naaman, when he came to the prophet to be cleansed of his leprosy, Naaman was in a rage, and he's like, why am I going to go dip myself seven times in the River Jordan? Aren't the rivers of Abana and Pharpar much greater, the ones in my home country?" And his his servants were able to give him a broader understanding and encouraged him to simply just be obedient. Just do what the prophet told you to do. It's not that hard. And so he did, and when he did, there was a great blessing to him as he was cleansed of his leprosy. And in our lives likewise, that whatever the Lord would have us to do, we don't understand all things. We don't know all things. It's limited. But we can reflect that we are appreciative of God's grace and his goodness to us by simply being obedient. It's not hard. He gives us grace. We can be obedient unto him. He will provide. He will provide in a rich measure. We ought not to stiffen our necks. We ought not to be proud. We ought not to say, I know better. I'm not going to listen. There were a lot of questions in this chapter. A lot of it was, how? How did he open your eyes? That question was asked a lot. How? What the question should have been is, who? Who? It's the same three letters, how and who. But it's more important to know who. And that because it's important to know who Jesus Christ is, not how. How he received his sight is immaterial. It's not important how he received his sight. But who gave him that sight is very important. It was the Messiah. It was the Anointed One. It was Christ. It was Emmanuel. It was the chief shepherd. It was the one who came to give us eternal life. God with us. So the neighbors come and say, is this he? And he truthfully says that he is he. And one thing about this man that was born blind is he was truthful all along. His testimony never changed. And it was a great day for him, but they were more questions about how than rejoicing with him. And so this man tells his neighbors, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. So this man that was born blind, he simply reiterated, this is exactly what happened. Nothing different than that. This is exactly what happened. But he referred to Jesus as a man. A man. And then we can see a progression here. That he comes to realize, well, this wasn't just a man. Actually, he was a prophet. He was a prophet. And then he comes to realize who Jesus Christ truly was at the end. And so we see this progression happening to this man. And he's asked, where is Jesus? And he says, I know not. And so they bring him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. So now herein lies the problem. Oh, to the Jews, to the Pharisees, okay, this is a big problem. It doesn't fit our paradigm. It doesn't fit our narrative. It's not how we understand things. We have this narrow vision of how things should be. They had forgotten the things that Jesus Christ had told them. The Messiah came to them and he told them, he told them that there was one that was greater than the temple here, and that was himself. And he also said that the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. The Lord Jesus Christ was Lord of the Sabbath day. He wasn't bound by the Sabbath day. He was Lord over it, just as he's Lord over everything. God hath highly exalted Jesus Christ and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is Jesus Christ whom we serve. And these narrow-minded Pharisees and Jews could only see things in one manner. Oh, it's the Sabbath day. He shouldn't have done that. Jesus told them, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. I'm Lord of all. There is none greater. I am Lord of all. I'm Emmanuel. I'm the Messiah. And so we're called with great meditation, with deep meditation, to hear the Savior speak to us and to speak to them. When the Jews heard what Jesus said, they didn't listen. They didn't listen. If we go back a chapter, we see that Jesus is speaking to the Jews, and he says, "He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." You're not of God. You didn't hear them. Again, so when Jesus said, "I am Lord of the Sabbath," they didn't hear him. They didn't hear him. And so they had this predicament because they could only see things in their narrow-minded way of, oh, he made clay on the Sabbath, and he did some work on the Sabbath, and so he's not of God. They missed it. They missed their Messiah. So the Jews asked him how he had received his sight, and the man says, "He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see." And so there was a division. Some said, "Well, he's a sinner. He's doing these works on the Sabbath day." But others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" There was a division among them. There were some that recognized who Jesus Christ was. There were some that recognized, well, maybe I ought to step out of my paradigm. Maybe I ought to step out of my smallness of mind and think outside of my narrative that only I know, the only one I know, and recognize, well, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And so the saddest part to me of this chapter is when the Jews bring forth the parents, and we don't believe what you're saying. Let's call your parents and see what they have to say. And the parents say, "Well, yeah, he's our son. Yeah, he was born blind. Yep, how he sees, we don't know. And who did that? We don't know." And they were afraid of man. They were afraid of man. And it's so sad to me to think that here's this man that was born blind. He's heard his parents' voice for many, many years, and now for the first time, he gets to see his parents. He gets to see what they look like. And mom and dad didn't come over and say, "Oh, we rejoice with you, son. We rejoice with you. You have your sight. Look how beautiful everything is." No, they kept their distance. They kept their distance. How sad. Because they had the fear of man. The proverb says that the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso trusteth in the Lord shall dwell in safety. This blind man dwelt in safety because he trusted in Jesus Christ. But the parents never did. They had a fear of man, and it brought a snare to their lives. So the Pharisees are in a quandary. They don't know what to do. So they call back this man that's born blind, and they said unto him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." We cannot bless God, and we cannot curse God. The Bible makes that clear. Out of the same mouth cannot proceed blessing and cursing. They wanted to bless God, but they cursed the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Any blessing that they would have toward God became negated because they cursed God, because they cursed the Lord. So any praise was negated. It meant nothing. It meant nothing. And so they ask him one more time, "What did he unto thee? How opened he thine eyes?" And he said, "I told you already, and ye did not hear it. Wherefore will ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples?" And they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. And we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not whence he is." They were enraged. They don't know how to deal with this situation. And so they're just saying that, well, Jesus is a sinner. And that's blasphemous. That's blasphemous. And they say, "We don't know where he's from." But again, if we go back to the previous chapter, we could see that Jesus just got done telling them where he was from. He said, "If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me." Jesus just got done telling them where he came from, that he came from God. And they're like, "Well, we don't even know where he's from. And we're Moses' disciples." Well, Jesus had something to say about that, too. If we go back to John 4. (Clears throat) John 5, it says, Jesus is telling them again, he's saying, "For if ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Jesus is telling them that Moses wrote of me. The prophets wrote of me. The Bible points to Jesus Christ. But they had their narrative. They had their thoughts. And it was narrow-minded. Their ways were very low. They didn't understand the ways of God at all. So this man answers them, and he's coming to fuller and fuller revelation about Jesus Christ. And he says, okay, well, isn't this ironic? Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you don't know where he's from, but yet he opened mine eyes. Since the beginning of the world, it's never been heard that someone had opened the eyes of one that was born blind. He became to know that this was truly a man that was even more than a prophet. And then he said, further, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He's telling them, and he's saying, so if this man, who you say is a sinner, if he's from God and he's able to heal mine eyes, and you don't know him, then that means you are not connected with God. He's connected with God, and you don't know him. Since you don't know him, then I know where you stand, and I know who this man is. He's from God. He has to be from God. If he weren't from God, he could do nothing. And so, again, in exasperation, they don't know what to do with him. You were altogether born in sins, and you're going to teach us. Spiritual pride is a very dangerous place to be. To think, oh, I know what God wants. I know what God wants. Nobody else knows, but I know what God wants. That's how the Jews were. That's how the Pharisees were. They had that spiritual pride. It's a very, very dangerous place to be. We could do nothing of our own. We are who we are because of the grace of God. Because what he has done for us. Because what Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Emmanuel, what he did for us, the grace that has been given unto us, we are who we are. And for us to revile others, the Holy Spirit wouldn't direct us to do that. And so here comes now the crux of the story, the climax of the story. And Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" It's so beautiful as to Jesus, as to what he knows and what needs to be said at that right time. He didn't say, "What happened? What happened when you went there?" He didn't ask, how did things go? The others were all asking, how did things go, or how did this happen? But Jesus didn't ask that question. Jesus says, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" That's the crux of the matter. It's who Jesus Christ is. We're proclaiming his great salvation in the message of the cross. 'Tis a blessed word revealing the eternal fount of healing, and that Jesus Christ our Lord full redemption doth afford. In Jesus Christ our Lord, we have redemption. We need to know him. How things happen, why things happen, is immaterial. It doesn't matter. What matters is, who is Jesus Christ to us? Who is Jesus Christ? Who is our Lord and our Savior to us? Does obedience betoken that we prize his grace conferred? Do we obey him? As he told this blind man to go to the pool of Siloam and wash, do we obey in the same manner? Or do we put up some resistance and are kind of more concerned about how comfortable we are? Or what our narrative is, what our experiences in our life, what they amount to, and how we see things through that prism? Is that more important than to yield our all to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God? And so Jesus asked him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" This blind man was convinced, fully convinced now at this point. He recognized him as a man that told him to go to the pool of Siloam to wash. He recognized him then as a prophet. And now he wants to know who this Lord is. "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" He's fully convinced of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." So now as your eyes have been opened, you've seen the Pharisees, you've seen who your parents are, you've seen your neighbors, but now you see me. Jesus Christ is saying, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And this man that was born blind, who now not only has physical vision, but has spiritual vision, who can now see clearly of who the Lord is, he says, and makes a confession, "Lord, I believe." And he kneels down and he worships him. Worships the Lord. Worships Jesus Christ. Now he has vision. He was blind. He was in sin. But now he sees, and it's more than just his physical eyesight that he has. He has the ability to recognize who Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is. And so Jesus says, in the presence of this blind man and some other of the Pharisees that were still lingering around, "For judgment I came into this world, that they that see not, might see, and they which see might be made blind." So this man, he couldn't see, but he came to not only a physical vision where he can see the spectrum of light, but he can see more than that, and he can see who Jesus Christ was. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words. They said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." Jesus came as a light unto this world, that those that see not might be able to see. So those who recognized their sin, they recognized their inabilities, they recognize their ignorance, and they recognize their need of the Lord, they were able then to see. But those who knew everything, who knew what the Lord wanted and who God was and how they were Abraham's lineage and they belonged as disciples of Moses, they thought that they could see. But yet they were blind. Spiritually, they were blind. They were outside of the will of God. Again, going back to that verse in the previous chapters, "He that is of God heareth God's words, therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." They would not hear God's word. They would not hear God's word. And because they would not hear God's word, they were none of his. They were none of his. The Spirit wasn't in them. And the Bible says that if the Spirit is not in one, that he is none of his. We are to be directed by the Lord. We are to acknowledge our great need of the Lord. There ought to be no spiritual pride in us. We ought never to have a stiff neck and a prideful heart and think of our and esteem ourselves higher than others, as we read this morning. The Lord Jesus, after he resurrected, he made himself manifest to his disciples, with the exception of one disciples, and that was Thomas Didymus, which is called Didymus. And the other disciples, at a later time, told Thomas, "Thomas, we saw the Lord. We saw him." And Thomas responded, "Unless I put my finger in his side, and I will not believe. I will not believe." The Jews would not believe. The man that was born blind, he came to believe and he worshiped the Lord. So then at a time later, then the Lord Jesus appeared unto Thomas and said, "Thomas, reach thither thy finger and place it in my side, and place it in my hands, and be not faithless, but believing. And then Thomas came to that full revelation of who Jesus Christ was, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, Emmanuel, God with us. And he says to the Lord Jesus Christ, "My Lord and my God." He came to believe. And this is what happened in this story, that we come to that spiritual vision, that we come to that revelation of who Jesus Christ is and who he is to this world, and recognize that all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. He is worthy of all of our praise, and we are to believe in him and live for him and walk in obedience and please him well in all things as he has given unto us spiritual vision. Amen.